Hey guys, this is Rivian Rundown. My name is Isaiah.
I'm Zach. And you go. You're doing the intro.
we'll keep this in. And we have on a guest here, our first guest, Tom Suburbs. Is that what we're going to call you, Tom Suburbs? Is that what?
Yeah, might as well. That's what my online Elias is.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on here.
Yeah, we're glad you're here. And you took delivery of a Gen 2 R1S, a large plus. Let's get into the experience of getting a Rivian R1S Gen 2. What was that like?
It was awesome, honestly. For people who've followed me for a while, I've been considering getting a Rivian for going on 9 months. Way back in January, I rode my first R1S demo, and I was literally blown away by it. It was amazing. Suspension, handling, interior-wise, especially, interior build quality coming from an old Model 3. You don't have to do a lot to be better than that. it was great. Delivery experience was awesome. Everybody there was, I knew half of the people at our center because I've done so many demos. They're very knowledgeable, walking me through the setup and everything like that. Things I missed while doing demos, setting up little creature comforts, your seating, your speaker setup, things like that, your regen settings. It was awesome. And then Isaiah, you came, so you got to see the latter end of that, which was awesome.
Yeah, that was super fun coming out. So I live in Tallahassee and I have family in Orlando. Of course I have friends like Tom down there. And so I was super excited to have an excuse to skip school and skip work and drive down. And so got up early with my dog and we hit the road, and coincidentally I got there like the exact same time as Jose. It was weird. It was like a Fast and Furious scene where like Paul Walker and Vin Diesel just same time meet and merge, and we got there at the same time and were there for Tom's Gen 2 delivery.
I'm jealous. You guys almost make me want to go to Florida.
You gotta come down.
Come on down.
Yeah, we have to do something. There has to be a Rivian event. I sound like a broken record, but there needs to be like a Rivian group event. Tesla has their thing, and so it just, there needs to be the Rivian community is so big. And
we do a thing. We do a thing out in California, or at least West Coast, called Gary's Jamboree. I'm sure everybody's probably heard of it. It was pretty big last year. Gear Gargary actually showed up. Shout out to Jimmy. that could be a cool thing. But yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Like we need to do something like in the middle of the country where everybody can come together.
Yep. Now I'll skip to this for a second. Gary's Jamboree. I feel like I've heard it before, but I don't specifically remember what was that.
It was just a big weekend, and Bay Area Rivian Club hosted it. I think with Sierra Nevada Rivian Club, and then like people from all over, like Nevada and California and Oregon and Washington, Arizona, like basically everybody west of the Rockies came out. Like I think we had like 60 people. This was like, we've had it twice now, and the one this year was like right before we took delivery of our R1Ts. So like I just missed it. We actually just started planning it this past Monday. So look out for more info on that.
Okay. Maybe it's something to worth flying out for, but
no, you gotta drive out, man.
Drive out. It's look, I love driving my R1T, but I've never driven like more than 6 hours at like one full pace.
You gotta take it across. You gotta drive across country once.
I'll have to test that
from somebody that's done it a few times. You gotta do it at least once. It's definitely worth it.
Awesome. Yeah, we gotta plan something. And when I do plan my R1T road trip, I'll let everyone know. But talking about road trips and range, Tom, you took delivery of a Gen 2 R1S, specifically a large plus, and there was a whole like fiasco going on, I guess, with large plus being more than what you were supposed to get, and then they had a software update. If you're able to explain that, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. So basically, I had a max pack for a day and didn't even realize it till later on. So after delivery day and everything, went to lunch with Isaiah, Jose. We had a great time. Did a little more driving after that, and then finally came home to plug it up. Wanted to see what the exact range was at 100, so I'll plug it up in my universal connector, wake up in the morning and see what happens. So I plugged it in. A few minutes go by, it's still at 94% where it was when I plugged in. I'm like, okay, it's interesting. I wait for about 15 more minutes and it's still at 94%. And I'm kind of like, okay, this is interesting. The car said it was not charging. However, I go look at my Tesla app, the wall connector was still outputting like 10 kilowatts. And so I sat there kind of confused for a bit. It eventually went inside. It was like 11 p.m. So I had to go inside. I kept watching on my phone. It was stuck at 94% the whole night, just chugging energy. Once I checked in the morning, it had just went from like, it jumped from 94 to 100 immediately. Oh. So I checked the phone. It gained, despite not charging according to the car, it gained, I think like an additional 28 kilowatt hours or something like that, despite being quote unquote fully charged. And so I was on a mission from that point on. So I reset the trip B so I could mark my range and just start driving all throughout the day, mixing my commute with it, but also just driving around a loop around my area just to get the range down. And I went nearly 50 miles before it dropped below 100%.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then it stayed at 99 for another, I'd say maybe 20, 30 miles. By the time it actually started, at least on a display, discharging, I wasn't nearly at 100. I can't remember. I posted on it on Twitter. But I was nearly at 100 or something like that before it actually started going down normally. And so I kept logging it and traveling across town, went to Florida Rivian Club event. They had me out there with the Gen 2. They wanted to see it. I drove near Claremont. I drove everywhere, all on one charge. And so I think by the time I finally reached, I reached, I think, 5 or 4%, the odometer was at like, I think it was 285 or something, which is pretty good seeing that I was, you know, racing it, for lack of a better term. I was not efficient at all. And then my buddy Chad, we compare all of our specs and everything like that. And he showed that he was able to find that my, despite my pack supposed to be software limited at like, I think, 120 or something like that, when it was fully charged, well, close to fully charged, my state of charge to the car was actually like 128 or 129 or something like that. So it was definitely had more than it was supposed to. And then the crazy part is on the second day, while I was still testing stuff, they sent out an update to fix it, what they call a calibration issue. But it didn't remove the extra charge I had. So despite the update coming, which it fixed it going forward. So after I discharged it, it's back to normal. But I still had a max for that period of time because I charged it to 100% right before that update came. So it was crazy. I wish I had like an opportunity or a reason to, you know, drive cross country like you're saying, Zach, because that would have been so useful.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Having a potentially 420-mile pack would be so cool, but I had nowhere to go except, like, to work or to the store.
Hey, with free energy, who cares?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it was fully charged from the dealership, too, which is interesting. Typically, I expect to be, you know, at, like, 70, 80%. It was at 98 or 97. And I did do a lot of driving before I arrived home at 94, which was kind of what, you know, piqued my curiosity. Like, that's a lot of driving for, you know, relatively no discharge. And I was, first I was like, well, I come from old Model 3. Maybe I'm just used to bad battery. but no, something was definitely up. But it was fun experimenting about it. I do miss my max pack I had for a day, and I'll probably have to pay for it when they let you upgrade next year. But I thought it was pretty cool having that for a day. Wish I could have used it to its full capacity by going on a trip or something.
I think Rivian should give it to you for free when they release the unlock. Just be like,
yeah,
you tested it for us, thanks.
Yeah, I helped you find the bug.
Yeah.
But for those who are confused, so Rivian has three battery sizes, right? So that being the standard, large, and max pack. And Rivian is currently producing the standard and max pack batteries, and they aren't, I guess, producing the large pack batteries for the Gen 2. And so in the meantime, they have been taking the max pack and, as Tom said, software limiting it, which they didn't do properly the first time now, but they've been software limiting it, so it is technically a large pack, and so you are able to charge it to 100%. That's right, Tom?
Exactly, yeah. So I think at 100% with the correct software lock, I am at, you know, up or down maybe a little bit, like 80 or 81% or something like that, between 80 or 85, somewhere in that area, which is, it's pretty good for me. I'd always charge my Model 3 to 85, so I mean, it gives me peace of mind that trying to 100. You know, nothing's official yet, at least that I know about, whether or not you can. But from a specs wise, I should be fine, hopefully.
Okay. That's not a, like, don't blame us, right? If you charge your battery to 100, something happens.
Yeah.
It's not
our fault. I'm a tech nerd. I experiment. Don't do what I do.
But awesome, congratulations again, Tom.
Yeah, was, that's super cool.
Amazing. Thank you. Yeah, you guys are awesome. The community was one of the main reasons why I wanted to look for not just another EV, but, you know, Rivian specifically. You know, meeting you, Jose, everyone else on Twitter was awesome. My first experience outside of my first demo drive was actually going to the Florida Rivian Club. Jose had invited me out there just to see, so I was the one guy in a Tesla over there, which is kind of funny. I kind of parked like over across the street, so I'd ruined their photo. But there's some awesome guys, and at that point I'm like, okay, this is great. You know, a lot of people say it reminds you of the early Tesla community, and I'm like, yeah, but I think it's even better than that.
Absolutely.
That little sense of adventure
Yeah.
is like the icing on the cake. So you guys are awesome.
We're glad you're here. I mean, you've always been a part of the Rivian community. It's just more official that you have a Rivian now.
Yes.
And I'm not even going to lie to you. We were making like internal bets, like whether how long it would take Tom to get his R1S. And I don't remember, like, it was like an over and under for a certain date. But yeah, we were all just like, Tom's got to be next. And there are other people in the community who are a part of the Rivian community who don't have Rivians. And so slowly and surely, everyone will have a Rivian. And that's what we love to see. But
we're getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Well, awesome. Let's move on to the first, I guess, official topic. And I would say we didn't do an episode last week. We all had schedule differences, and also the news wasn't that wild. And so we figured, okay, we'll just take a break, kind of regather and wait for the news to pile up. And yes, it did pile up.
It did.
So we have 2024.31 software update, and that gave us new navigation updates with the navigation in your Rivian. So it now allows you to see more detail when you look at places. I guess it's integrated now with Google. And so just as this, you look a place up and you'll see the Google ratings and the pictures. Before, it would show the ratings and like address and such, but now it'll show pictures, reviews, things of that nature. And then the fun stuff is we now have accent lighting. And there are, I believe, 7 colors to choose from here, and I'll pull all of them up. It's like Canyon Glow, Glacier Fog. I'm trying to remember all of them on the top of my head. But there are now colors, accent colors in your Rivian. Before, it was just white.
So, Pacific Coast for life.
Pacific Coast. What mine is the purple, which is Twilight Trail. Which one's your favorite?
I think I have mine set to the orange so far. That's the, for me, it's the one that shows up the most. So I'm like, whichever one.
It matches my truck. I'm good. So
that's right. It does. It does match your red yep. opinion. But
I'd rock like a full red coat. That'd be pretty cool. I've done that in a Model 3 Highland before. That looks pretty sick at night.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
If they could do like a less orange, more like red color,
yeah,
that would be pretty sick.
Yeah, we're missing a few colors. Like, we got red for Halloween in 2022. So the first Rivian Halloween update, we got red, and then we just didn't get red this time. We just kind of left
took it away.
Took it out.
It's too red.
Maybe it's that. Yeah, it's just way too red. But how are you like?
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Honestly, hopefully you get just a regular color swatch. You can just pick whatever one you want. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
What do you call that? The wheel thing.
Color wheel.
Color wheel. Okay.
Color wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah. But how are the colors in your Rivian? I've noticed that between mine and looking at other people's interior accents, that my lights suck. Like, they're extremely dim. But I don't. How are your guys' lights?
Mine are about the same. I really had a chance to. Well, I had my car parked in the garage when the update downloaded, and I sat there and played around with the with it. So like it was like pitch black in there, and I could see everything. But like that's really the only time. Like I was out driving at 5:30 this morning, and like the entire cabin was like illuminated. It was great. But yeah, once the sun started to come up, I didn't even notice it.
Yeah, same for mine. Like if it's not dark, I literally can't see them. I have no idea if this is confirmed or not. I have a hunch that they turn off or get darker as it gets brighter. Like I've kind of like put my phone camera kind of up in one of the areas where the light shines, and I literally can't see it. You've like the exposure turn all the way up, all the way down. I have a hunch, a feeling. Maybe it turns off or something, but even when it's on, it's not bright at all.
Maybe when it switches from like night mode to day mode,
or like headlight settings or something. We'll try that out.
We'll have to investigate.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll go over the color. So Pacific Sunset, which is the orange. Canyon Glow is like a light yellow. Desert Snow is white. Glacier Fog is like a light blue. We have Forest Valley, which everyone seems to love. Alpine Lake, and then Twilight Trail is the purple.
Which is the other favorite I've noticed.
People love that one as well. But yeah. Hopefully, I mean, we do have Gen 2, and it seems that it's still kind of dull. But I've seen Gen 1s, pictures of Gen 1s, where it's like super duper bright. And I think it's important, I guess, for people to know that the hardware is, I guess, different from Gen 1 and Gen 2, the RGB accent lighting. It's a different hardware. And Wasim, the head of software at Rivian, has mentioned this on Reddit. And I guess it just took Rivian a while to introduce an update like this. But I have no idea why something like this would take so long. But I feel like a color wheel, give us a color wheel, just should have given us back in like 2022, would have been great, even as dull as it is. But hopefully it gets better with the third gen Rivians, whenever that is.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need the accent lighting like in Teslas, like those that they did it right. Mm-hmm. In like the Highlands and all that, like it looks really good.
It looks awesome. Even during the daytime, it looks great.
Yeah. Well, I would even go far. I mean, this is going to be really controversial, and feel free to blow me up on this. But my girlfriend's ID4 has accent lighting that you can customize also, and it kind of also looks better than
really?
Rivian.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me, honestly.
Yeah, that's like the only good thing about the software in that car is that looks good.
Volkswagen needs to, Rivian needs to take something from Volkswagen this time. They can just take the light settings. Volkswagen can have the software.
If you can only take one thing from Volkswagen, just take the lights.
That's the JV agreement right there.
Yep.
Awesome. All right. What else do we have? So we have the tri-motor. This was another big thing that was introduced. Tri-motor R1Ss first hit the R1 shop. A few weeks ago, we saw the first Gen 2 R1Ts. We've now seen the Gen 2 R1T deliveries. Now we're getting the first Tri-Max on the shop, and I'm assuming very soon we will see the deliveries for these as well. And so this is Rivian's tri-motor configuration, up to 400 miles of range, which is what they, I guess, what they estimate. But from, I think, what the EPA, it's more like 380 or 370, something like that. But
sounds about right. Like, yeah, I think 370.
Yeah, it's tri-motor. I don't think it's anything. I'm really excited for the quad, the Gen 2 quad, if anything. I think the tri is like, in my opinion, it's in a weird place, but it's also in like a good place. You want a little bit more performance, but you still want some of the dual motor efficiency. And so you're getting like the best of both worlds.
Yeah, now I don't know if it was, we'll call it propaganda, but when they did the event for like the media, when they introduced the Gen 2s, they were out there, you know, in tri-motors, and all the guys from Rivian that were along for the ride or driving the cars or whatever were saying that like the tri-motor was like where it's at. Like it, like you said, it hits that sweet spot where like it's like it gives you the power that you need plus the efficiency, and then, you know, it's got all the new stuff in it. So take that as you will.
What are your thoughts, Tom? The tri-motor. I mean, I know like you got your delivery, and then like the next day it was like, here's the tri-motor, guys.
I mean, frankly, even if they were, I would be able to afford one. Tri-motors are amazing. I will say though, I wish they let us put the Ascent trim slate sky interior though. That's the one thing that would get me away from Ocean Coast. And trust, man, I wanted to get an Ascent just for that so bad, but it wouldn't work. I love my dual max, well, dual max 4-day, dual large plus. But man, tri-motor, not to mention tri-motor is technically what, 0.01 seconds faster than the Bosch quad with one less motor, which is that's fantastic.
Insane. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't really see road trip efficiency numbers with that thing. Shut off the rear axle and just cruise at one motor.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
And so these have conserve as well. And so I'm wondering what that will look like. We'll have to wait for, you know, the righteous Kyle Connor to take this on the road.
And 7 miles an hour.
Yeah. It's going to be a good test.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Alrighty. Well, that would conclude tri-motor. Now, I think this is something that everyone is excited for and something everyone benefits from. It's the referrals.
Yes.
Yeah. So now, Tom, you're now part of the referral gang. You know, you caught in like right on time. Now you got a Rivian. As for referrals open, we will leave I'll have everyone's referrals, Tom's, Zach's, my referrals in the description. And the referral system's pretty simple. It's right $750 for the buyer and the code person, right? The person who has the code.
Yeah, everybody gets the same benefits.
And then it's how many months of charging? I don't even
remember. 6 months.
6 months. Okay.
Six months. Yeah. So if you are the referee, the person giving the referral, for every referral you get 6 months up to 3 years lifetime.
Wow.
So you can refer what is that, six people? Six people and get free charging for 3 years.
Yeah, that's
pretty awesome.
It's crazy. $750, and you can put that towards anything Rivian related. when I get my first referral, not gonna lie, I'm just gonna buy a bunch of Rivian shirts. Maybe accessories. Crossbar, yeah, cargo bars or something, but
I'm getting those. That's sure. Number one on my list. The dark ones.
Those look very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a master plan for mine. So I have the 22-inch range wheels, which are the best wheels I've ever seen. I love those things.
Yes.
However, I want to do some like off-roading with the Florida Rivian people down here, but I do not want to take those off. I want those to stay perfectly pristine. So I did the math, and I, if I recall correctly, I need six, it was like 5.8, but six referrals to get the all-terrain wheel package from Rivian, which includes installation and everything. And so that's my goal. So I can get some of those and just swap them out when I want to go off-roading.
Awesome.
Those were on my original ideal, all Rivian, but R1S build before the ranges came out. I was basically non-negotiable. These are wheels I'm getting. And then Gen 2 came out. I'm like, oh, never mind. I changed my mind. But yeah, get those and some roof racks. Be awesome.
Yeah, referral codes. Yeah. I'm sorry. Sorry. Go ahead, Zach. I'm like,
oh, no. I was just commenting on what Tom was saying.
No, yeah, the cargo bars are going to be the black. This sounds kind of sacrilegious. I really like the chrome ones, maybe better than the black cargo bars. I love the black ones as well. I like the blackout trim that Rivian now has. You can pay and have that like black your Rivian out. But I don't know. I like chrome for some reason.
That we should actually say that Jose confirmed that
yes. If
you wanted to do the dark out package after you purchased your car, you can actually do it. Rivian will do it and charge you. Mm-hmm. I think it came out to like $700 and something with installation and all that. But the only thing that they won't do is the badge on the hood.
Why is that? Yeah. Do you know why? Just
I have no idea. But you can buy the blackout film for the hood for like $20.
Yeah.
And do it yourself.
That's I love that price. because what's funny is I originally ordered my R1S with the dark out package. And then when Large Plus came out and I got switched because I was a large regular order. And they switched me to Large Plus. But they're like, okay, you don't get dark out. And I was like, oh, are you sure? He's like, oh, we can't give it to you. But I saw the news about getting dark out after the fact, like 2 days after delivery. And I was like, yes. That would be another thing I'll use referral code credits on. Because you can use it for service things too.
Yeah. Anything having to do with anything that you purchase that money exchanges to Rivian, you can use it. It's basically like $750 gift card.
That's amazing. So like I was thinking of it more as like accessories. Like you buy accessories or buy a Rivian, which you can buy a Rivian. I think it's 106 referrals to buy a Rivian. So you have to have 106 referrals and then you get to buy a Rivian. But if I have like something that needs to be replaced and it's not under warranty, I can use the referrals money. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. I should have read the terms and service. I kind of skimmed through it, not going to lie. Awesome. Alrighty.
Yeah. Oh, and if for some odd reason you don't want to use any of our codes, you can check out codetoadventure.com and get a random referral code. We have almost 100 on there. Or if you want to add yours and have somebody randomly choose yours, then there's a submission form as well. Just thought I'd shout that out.
Yeah. I'll link that in the description as well. So yeah, next topic. So the Rivian CFO, Claire McDonough. I apologize. I feel like I've been saying her last name wrong, but I'm going to stick to what I've been saying all this time. But she attended Goldman Sachs Communicopia and Technology Conference. And no offense to RJ, I really like Claire more. She's just a more transparent speaker.
Now he's never coming on the show. You know that, right?
I've ruined all chances of RJ coming on this show now.
RJ will never come on the show. You know what? He should come on despite that.
So. Yeah, yeah. Come on and like don't say anything. Be like, I'll show you what
Yeah, I'll be the worst guest ever. Here we go.
Oh, anyway. Yeah. Claire, she spoke to Goldman Sachs, and we got a lot of reiteration of things we knew in the past, but a lot of super good information. And so I'll kind of start off. Thank you to, again, Jose from Rivian Tracker. His website, well, I've said this before, actually kind of insane. I would say it's just because it's not like easier for me to navigate than like electric and inside EVs and stuff like that. His website is like better to them than me. It's like, honestly, his SEO is crazy. I look up Rivian stuff and it's, I use his information more than my own. So we'll be willing to admit that. But he does ask all the time for like, hey, can I use your source of this? So yeah, Jose is a good mutual friend, mutual source. And so, yeah, for starters, right, Rivian aims at not only building the best EV in the market, but the best vehicle. The Gen 1 R1T was over-engineered to solely make a statement. And so we think of that now, right, Gen 2, it is taking what was overly engineered and overly complicated from the Gen 1, and then just breaking the costs down significantly. And so you have a great vehicle that is now cheaper to produce. And then the Claire admitted that Rivian struggled recently with supply chain issues, which led to the production of EDVs stopping. And then we do know that the EDV production has since resumed. And she mentioned that it didn't only just affect the EDV, it affected, right, the entire line, R1S and R1T as well. And this is something that RJ actually said in his meeting that he had today, with Morgan Stanley, but in the short term, it seems that they're having more of a supply issue than a demand issue. And it, which I'm, in some ways is, you always want demand to be more than supply. But in this context, it's kind of like, it's actually like they need to be making as a high amount, as many as possible to get out there and continue to advertise and continue to help bring their cost per vehicle down. They talked about the VW membership and how that will really help take some of the constraint that they have, cash constraint. It's going to help expand the normal factory, help build R2, and then all of those cost savings will go into Georgia. And then talking about Georgia, they have no definitive timeline. I think Georgia's kind of weird. It's like, I think the agreement is they have to have 8,000 or 7,500 employees by 2030. In place. And so there's no like, okay, a building has to be built by this time. It's just 2030, there needs to be 8,000 active employees in this factory. And so they do have time, right? 2030 is still a bit away, but time moves by fast. I mean, we're already in almost the end of 2024, which is absolutely insane to think about. Yeah. But it's Georgia, just we have time for Georgia. What do you guys think about like Rivian? Do you think they need Georgia? I mean, it's a whole nother.
I think right now, like with what they're planning, like at least in normal, like I can see why they're holding off on Georgia. But then I also think that a lot of people are holding off on R2 and R3 reservations until they actually see them on the road or see more of them before they're released. And I think that's going to open the floodgates. And I think that, well, I'm hoping that this isn't going to happen, but I feel like it's going to catch Rivian off guard. And then they should have been like, oh man, we should have like built the Georgia plant and had that like at least almost ready to go to catch up with the demand.
I think Tom and I are like, it's a Rivian factory close to us. I mean, I'm not complaining at all. Honestly.
Yeah, that's only a few hours from you guys. That's not bad.
Yeah, that'd be super fun to have
new. I think it'd be good future wise because like right now, not too sure. When they start, you know, pumping out R2s as much as like a Model Y is being manufactured, then you'll definitely need, you know, more space to catch up with that demand.
Yeah.
Right now I'm not too sure. I'm not too well versed in it. In their manufacturing side, to just know that, you know, when it's time to ramp up R2 that much, they probably will need that whole other facility. Because they'll go from, you know, order demand to just, you know, the the impulsive purchase. Like, hey, I need a new car. Model Y is right here. I'm going to grab that. Good price. That's what's happening to R2. And you need to have a bunch of inventory ready, and it's going to be crazy.
I'm sure they have a plan. Like, you know, they're not going to mention it right now, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Time will tell.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys mentioned that. Them being out there in the first place, the more of them, and the fact that people actually see them being produced, and the impulse, you're here, Tom, the impulse that you said of it being available. You know, we see wait times like, all right, oh, I can get it tomorrow. Exactly. Right, of course, not realistic what's happening now. For R1S, it's like 1 to 6 weeks. But that's a lot better than previously of it being like a year and a half. You know, having to wait 6 months before you get your vehicle. And so that impulse of being like, okay, I can get this vehicle very soon. Let me just jump on it. That is a very good point. I think people really think about. Mm-hmm. And thinking about demand, she also mentioned that R1T and R1S, people were buying them just to get R2. And so I guess Claire noticed that there are a lot of 24-month leases that people are having just so at the end of their lease, they get to the front of the line of R2. So if you didn't know, if you are an R1T or R1S owner, you are at the front of the line for getting R2. I think it's always kind of been this way for auto manufacturers, right? They seem to prioritize people who already have the vehicle. There are, you know, if you own a Rivian now, you probably love it, and you're likely a good guinea pig, because you're not going to be like, oh, this sucks. This is, you know, this is a first experience. So they're able to get all the kinks out on us. Are you one of those people, Tom? Are you like waiting for R2, or are you like keeping R1S?
Yeah, I'm definitely waiting for R2. We'll see how attached I am to the R1S when it comes out. I hope to be in a place where I can still grab it and have both, because I don't want to get rid of either. but R2, I think, would be like such a versatile vehicle. I have two reservations for it also. The goal is one for me and one to rent out. We'll see if that actually happens.
Great idea.
I'm so excited for that thing, especially I'm a huge wheel guy. The wheels on the R2 are so good.
Agreed.
Very nice looking. I am looking forward to seeing all of the many wheel options, because you imagine that's just one of them, and especially seeing some of the Gen 2 wheel options we now have. I'm excited to see what it looks like further, because, you know, there are a lot of good Rivian wheel options, and hopefully they don't overdo it like they are now. I mean, Rivian has a lot of options, and I think the goal of R2 is to be simple in some aspects and making sure their production is always going, and they're not getting ahead of themselves. And so we'll probably get like two or three wheel options, but I'm hyped to see what those two or three look like.
Yeah, I have a feeling they're going to kind of run it like Tesla does with with all of the, you know, the Model Y, S, and X, where like you have like three options and like two different tire sizes. Like, I think I'd be good with that. And then have like a special one every once in a while for like a couple of months, and then get rid of it.
Maybe. Now that you say that, now I'm thinking maybe Rivian should stand out. maybe they should like... I mean, I think that's such a good part of Rivian. Like, we have so many color options. I think Tesla's just 5. Rivian, it's like 8.
7 or 8.
And they cut back on some.
Yeah.
Yeah, Compass Yellow. I'm sorry.
Rest in peace, Compass Yellow. Rest in peace, Compass Yellow. But we have a lot more options. And I think it is a good part of having a Rivian, because versus the Model S and 3 and Y and X, I see the same configuration like everywhere. versus Rivians, it's like when I do see another Rivian, even though I have the base, everything, I have the lowest paint, I have the road wheels, I have the black interior, it's like as low as it can get. I have not seen another Rivian with my same configuration in my city.
And even I never see any in silver. They're all like limestone. I saw my first Canyon Red R1T on the road today. He was coming the opposite direction as I was coming home. But yeah, they're usually either limestone, granite, or green. like forest green. Like those are all I ever see. And blue. There's a couple of blue.
There's a lot of blue I've seen. What is the most popular color? I mean, I think it is limestone. It is.
I think it's either limestone or El Cap granite. Mm. For sure.
Yeah. I see plenty of greens and canyon reds here.
Nice.
In Orlando. There was when I was driving back from our Rivian Club event, someone in a green one, they passed by me on the highway. I guess they noticed it was a Gen 2, so they started waving like this. That was pretty cool. They had a nice spec. They had a quad motor, so after I waved back, they like punched it. Just like, oh.
Had to put you in your place. Just remind you, you might have a Gen 2, but I
love quad. I'm still faster.
Yeah. But yeah, options are a good thing to have, but it's also important that they're not stretching themselves too thin and overcomplicating production. But we'll see how that goes off. But yes, the wheels on the R2 are like amazing. Let's see. Oh, and then this is kind of to sum this up. The Vans. So she said that there were a lot of big players. She didn't say big players. That's what Jose said. But she actually said that they were a lot of big contracts, big like fleet owners. And I think that's just a really good thing to have. From recent aerial shots, shout out Zach. He's a student in Normal, Illinois, who has a drone and every now and then will take drone pictures. And we've seen a lot of white R1Ss. Sorry, white EDVs. My apologies. A lot of white EDVs. And they're segregated from everything else. That was kind of like a joke online. But all the white EDVs were in a corner. And then everything else was out. And it was just kind of funny. But
yeah, that was good.
But white vans are a good thing because it means, well, of course, blue vans are Amazon, and white vans mean that they're for another supplier, right? And we know that DHL at least has some sort of talks with Raven because we've seen the DHL vans. We've seen that they've been in contact with USPS. And so I think there's just a lot of opportunity there in the space for them to just sell this van. And something that she said that I didn't want to read into too much, but she said the second half of 2025, that's when they expect production of the EDV to really ramp up even further. And so a lot of these pilot programs, right, where a lot of these companies are testing the EDV now, they expect a lot of these contracts to materialize in the second half of 2025, where they'll be building a lot of vans, which also makes me think, will we be able to buy EDVs in the second half of 2025?
When that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I want one.
They will sell so fast. Like, it won't even be funny.
That's the one thing I'd take over the R1S. One of those camp RV conversion. Perfect.
Yep.
Get a bigger battery, I think, for just more range, and then I think it peaks at is it 50 or 150 kilowatt hours?
Just 50. 50.
Yeah. Just 50. So it's a slower charger, but get faster charging, bigger battery, more range, and it'll be like awesome camper.
Right.
Yeah. Thinking about it though, it's really interesting that it's, you know, like mid 2025, especially with, I forgot who posted it. There was a photo that was floating around of a EDV with some cameras on the outside of it doing Driver Plus testing, possibly. So, a year and a half, well, a year at this point to refresh them wouldn't be too bad. Yeah. So
that was a good
just thing. Saying.
Yeah, no, that's right. A year from now, they can refresh them. 2025, they start building these out
probably. Yep, all the new contracts get the Gen 2 EDVs, and
and hopefully we're in that list of people who get them.
I will take one for testing purposes, please. After Kyle, I'll just take his.
Like, hey, you test your battery calibration on me again.
Yeah, there you go. Tom will do all your battery testing for you.
That's awesome. All right. Oh, and then there was one more thing. It was, let me read it here. I remembered and I didn't read it here. I just remembered. Right. They're working on a Gen 1 to Gen 2 trade-in program. Of course, we know the EDVs are in Germany, and that's actually just to help establish Rivian internationally. And so there are 3 service centers in Germany right now that they use for the EDVs, and soon those will probably be service centers for the R2 and R3 as well. Hopefully R1. I mean, it doesn't seem like that will be the case, but I honestly think
that I think they're too big to drive around out there.
Yeah, I mean, people say that, but I've seen trucks in Europe, and I mean, it's not common. But, like, I've seen plenty of VW. Like, VW has Mercedes, VW, Nissan. They have, like, trucks that are only European. Yep. And I've seen them in downtown, like, London and Paris. Yeah. And it's – R1S will probably be better. It's more – it's closer to the size of, like, a Land Rover Defender, which is pretty popular in Europe. But R1T, yeah. R1T might be a little too long.
Not much. Yeah, I've seen pictures of – R1T's out in like the UK and stuff like that, and it just looks really funny because like the roads are like this big and then like the truck is like 4 times the size.
Meanwhile, people in America call it small.
Yeah. It is not small.
At all. So. Here it was. So yeah, so they're stopping they're closing the factory, temporarily closing the factory in the second half of 2025 to help integrate R2 into the production line. And so we know they shut down a week in December 2023. And then, of course, they had the shutdown in April, which helped introduce Gen 2. And, of course, Rivian is adding another 2 million square feet to the normal Illinois factory, which will help them build R2. And they'll have to take some time off to, of course, integrate this, and then we'll have R1 online, EDV, and R2 all at the same time. And it's a variable production rate, and so that means that there is a limit to how many R1Ts, R1Ss, and EDVs that they have, but they're allowed to, let's say if they need to make more R1Ss, they can kind of scale back on the amount of R2s they're making and make more R1Ss, or scale back on the amount of R1Ss and make more EDVs. And so they're able to kind of configure the factory as needed to make more of one product, saying that demand shifts. But I have a feeling that R2 would just kind of be primarily it.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Trying to think, any other crazy news thing? I know, Tom, you're trying to. It's 9:30. I know Zach has his podcast. Read. I didn't want to hold you.
Oh up yeah, forever. We're good.
Oh, okay,
I'll hop on that in a moment. But for the other, near the last things, I'm definitely here for it.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah. Come this far, why not?
Yeah. So let's see. Talked about the CFO stuff. All right, R1T safest pickup. We'll. Could brush over that. Vouchers are ending soon, right?
No, yeah, end of the month.
Yeah. Vouchers will end.
Can you stack the voucher with the referral discount also?
Okay. It's like a one-time thing. So, like, I know Chase employees and Google employees get a discount. Like, you can't. You have to use the voucher or use the other discounts. And so
discount or voucher, got it.
Yeah. I mean, imagine stacking those.
Oh my God.
Get a Rivian for like $30,000.
Yeah.
Man.
I thought I got a good deal on mine. Good Lord.
Yeah. You had a voucher. You had a
No. Okay. I got the 2023 discount. I got the 6,000 friends and family. I got the tax discount. Yeah, I got the whole thing. Even though you weren't supposed to, they still did it.
If only Gen 2 had anything more than the credit.
Yeah.
Okay. Referrals, blah, blah, blah. Oh, do we want to talk about this Rivian Fire? I guess there was some new news.
Yeah, if you want.
Said that, I guess it was a critical battery problem and a Rivian in there. I guess it was a mix of new vehicles and like some Rivian owned, new and old. And I guess one of them had a critical battery issue and it just
wasn't supposed to be parked there. And then yeah. It was there. And
yeah, that's the case. Someone got fired. Wasn't supposed to be there. Then I don't know.
I just think it would be really funny if the one that caught on fire, well, it wouldn't be, but it would be really funny because, like, you know, in that picture, there's like all the burnt out cars and there was one that looked like it was like brand new.
Yeah.
Like that was the car and it just kind of like skipped over to like another one.
Just spread the fire out and then just kind of stopped. It was like, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah. Like the battery was leaking or something. So it went this way and then
yeah.
Started, like in a movie and it just kind of went down the trail.
That one review is just like, oh, well.
We'll get it back. It's fine.
Yeah. We'll get back. Okay, we'll go over this real quick. We'll go over the battery fire, safety crash, R1T thing.
Didn't the R1S get it also? But I guess R1T was the safest, and R1S just got the rating.
Yeah, R1S was the top like safety pick, but I don't think it was like I think the R1T is just because it was the only truck.
Yeah,
I think that was like the biggest thing.
Yeah, it was like a safety pick plus or whatever it was on the list.
Right, give me one second, my dog
plus. Is... like large plus, safety plus, it's all the same. Yeah. Driver plus.
There's a million pluses. It's everything is a plus.
Everything is a plus.
Oh boy, I did not charge my MacBook. I have about 5 minutes of battery left.
Fantastic.
Testing the length of my cable here. I don't think it'll reach. It will not. Okay, well, have a few minutes left.
All right. Well, I don't know what happened to Isaiah. He disappeared. Replaced by Gary down there.
Yeah, there we go. You got Gary.
Why are people messaging me from work? Stop messaging me. Go away. Get a life.
Okay, sorry. That was my personal, my dog. She was like, I let her out before I started, and she was like, no, what are we doing?
You left me out here way too long. What are you thinking?
Like, what's going on right now?
And then right when you left, my MacBook's like, hey, you got low battery. So I have about 5 minutes of a charge left. My charger is, my charger's too short. Can't reach over here.
Okay, let's speed this up. Okay. So, yeah.
Breaking news. I don't know if you guys saw this. You can use a Gen, a camp speaker from a Gen 1 car on the Gen 2 if you remove the storage drawer.
Oh, where'd that come from?
Chris Hilbert just posted it.
Posted it? Chris is this.
Man, he's nuts.
Yeah.
Dude's awesome.
Crazy. So it was, I guess it was proposed on like Reddit. Someone said that a service employee told them that I guess the internals are a little bit different and that there was something specific for the camp speaker that was installed when you configure your Rivian that could only, I guess, be compatible for the camp speaker.
Interesting.
And that ended up not being true. They lied.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Redditor has confirmed that the Rivian camp speaker from Gen 1 vehicles work on a Gen 2 with a storage drawer. This is good news for those looking to upgrade your Gen 2 after the fact.
Awesome.
Sweet. Well, this is interesting too. see this. The Rivian officially delayed the Power Tonneau cover refit until 2025.
Yeah. That's I'm expecting the call from that.
Yeah, I haven't gotten mine yet. Like phone call, I should say.
I think it's a Gen 3 to know.
Oh, no, here. This is only a delay for those looking to purchase one for existing vehicles. If you bought one already and was supposed to come with it, they are still installing them and holding the inventory.
Great. Okay. So hopefully they don't.
You might make it.
Push me out again. Yeah.
I've only been pushed once. I'm October 7th. So a couple weeks. We'll see.
Okay. I'm like November, mid-November. I don't remember the exact date again, but it was originally August. And then it was October, and now it's November.
Ugh. Yeah, mine was always August 15th, and then like the week before, they were like, "We have to push it." I'm like, "All right." So, fine. I got a bunch of other stuff they can do if they don't have it.
Fix that instead.
Yeah, fix my GPS.
Okay, so do we want to talk about this? I guess this IIHS and NHTSA. Why does it feel like I'm saying that for the first time? I've said that a million times. The R1T earned the top safety pick from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, making it one of the few pickup trucks to achieve such a distinction. So this, I believe, is the safest truck, and then right below it is the Toyota Tundra, but it's not all the Toyota Tundras, the new gen. It's only like the half cab or something.
Yeah.
So R1T, I feel really safe in my R1T. There's like a special feeling when I drive, knowing that like if someone were to hit me, God forbid, I would probably win.
Yeah, I feel like that in any EV though, but. It's awesome to have that in a pickup truck. Like, that's huge.
So put your, you know, if you're worried about safety, you know, put your family in an R1T and everything it'll be the best it could be.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, it's the best that it could be. Awesome.
The best a truck can get.
Yeah, the best the truck can get. That's the correct safety mark. And then RJ, right? RJ talked to Morgan Stanley. There was really nothing there, to be honest with you. He did relay that he kind of just went over the Volkswagen deal, but there wasn't, I was listening, I was in the middle of class, not gonna lie, while listening to it, and it was just not, there was nothing like that was super pointed out to me. He definitely went in more detail about the constraints that they had, and he was the one who mentioned that they had more of a short-term supply issue than a demand issue. And he also mentioned something that I think is really interesting to talk about, that he notices other auto manufacturers scaling back on their EVs, and he said that he thinks that is really good for Rivian. And maybe I'll make a tweet about that, but honestly, we see people buying Rivians. It is the best-selling SUV of its class in California, gas or electric. And the R1S is one of the top-selling EVs, period, in the United States. Yep. So clearly there's a demand there, and you continue to push forward. You get R2, you know, I think we'll continue to see this demand go. But it clearly has nothing to do with the auto, it clearly has nothing to do with EVs, as it has more to do with the automaker, I would think. Model Y is the best-selling car. It is the fifth or sixth best-selling car in the United States, which is no small feat. And it just happens to be electric.
Yep.
And it's good.
I think it's like, there's a few countries over in Europe where the Model Y is like the number one car overall. Just blows everything away by like, you know, five times. But yeah, it's awesome to hear that. And that is kind of interesting. Like, I've noticed that also, that like other manufacturers have started to either scale back like their offerings in the EV space, or like there's more demand for their EVs and they're just not meeting that. All of that is definitely good for Rivian, especially now that like Gen 2s are starting to be delivered on both R1T and R1S. So it just gets more people into Rivian. And I think with all the news that they've been generating also, and it's all been positive news, like the Volkswagen joint venture and R2 going on tour and new deliveries, and now the both major safety standard bodies coming out and making R1S the safest vehicle on, or R1T the safest vehicle on the road, or safest truck, you know, like it's all been positive spin, and it's been awesome. And, you know, it's how you grow a company and how you make it the best.
Very true. I wonder what makes Tesla and Rivian different in that regard. I'm of course Tesla's like pioneered, and so the attitude has changed for EVs dramatically, even though there is still some FUD out there. But yeah, just Rivian as a whole, I mean, when I talk to my non-EV friends, or you just go on social media, especially for the R3X, people love Rivian. Even mm-hmm. even like they don't like EVs. I wouldn't buy an EV, but if I bought an EV, it'd be a Rivian. And yeah. That's a common thing you see among them. And if it's not a good thing, we want you to buy a Rivian regardless. But yeah, it's just there is this positive thing coming from Rivian, and everything has been kind of, there's always I guess a good spin on it. But
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, awesome. We're trying a new.
I'm at 3%.
Okay. we're trying a new like podcast streaming thing this episode. This is our first guest. Of course, Tom, you're over here.
He's and over here for me.
Everyone's all okay. You're down there for me.
Yeah, you're here.
Really? Okay.
Tom's here.
I'm right here for mine, but
you're there.
Yeah, I'm on this side. And then Tom's over here, and then Isaiah, you're down there.
Okay. For those listening, we're talking about the screen here, and everyone has their cameras on. It's a weird configuration. But yes. But yeah, this was a pretty cool first episode kind of back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that we had Tom here, our first Me guest. Too. It was
yeah.
a guest.
Yeah.
Congratulations again, man. I mean,
yeah, dude.
Thanks so much. And amazing. I'm willing to be on anytime. Regular guest, sometimes, yeah. whatever. But I love yeah. being on here.
We will absolutely have you back anytime. And yeah, I'm here for it.
Well, awesome. All right, awesome. Zach, do you want to take us out? I think I
took. Yeah. So, like Isaiah was saying, you know, thanks to Tom for. I'm pointing to him. thanks to Tom for being our guest. Shout out to Riverside.fm for. The podcast video cast hosting, and you can catch all of our socials if you look at our names on YouTube. If not, they'll be linked in the show notes, as well as all of our referral codes as well. If for some reason you can't see that, you can always go to codetoadventure.com. You can also catch all the show notes, download all of the podcasts on your favorite podcast players, check out YouTube, youtube.com/@RivianRundown, or you can just go to RivianRundown.com, and all of everything is linked there, and you can listen to the show, watch the show, check out the show notes, all that good stuff. And yeah, thanks for listening, everybody.